Welcome to the Help Me Understand podcast. I'm Dr. Robert Dillon, a school designer focused on innovating the what, how, and where we learn. This podcast is designed to unearth and share ideas and practice the power of positive conversation. Thanks for joining us. And if you like what you hear, share the podcast with friends, as well as rate and review, as this helps more people find this great podcast and others. Well, good day and welcome to the Help Me Understand podcast. We have some special episodes coming up here live from Vancouver at TED 2022. Yeah, the TED Talks, those guys, TED.com. I'm at the conference. I've been waiting to be here for a few years because of COVID. But over the next few episodes, you will hear from myself and Dr. Chris McGee talking about our recap of the conference. Stay tuned for day one recap of TED 2022. All right, we are back and welcome to these special episodes of the Help Me Understand podcast. We are broadcasting from Vancouver, from TED. Chris, we've been waiting to be at TED for a long time.
Yeah, pre-pandemic, we registered, we did all the steps necessary. We begged, borrowed, groveled, whatever we could do to help us get here. Well, then the pandemic happened and that kind of changed things a little bit.
Yeah.
Put things on pause. But
it felt pretty cool to be here today.
Today was, oh man, I got a message in the app from one of the other attendees. What do you think is the over under on the number of times you're going to have your mind blown at the conference? And I just went with 100. 100 a day is kind of the goal.
Wow. Yeah. I was impressed. So I got to Vancouver here today. You got here yesterday. For those listening, it's Chris McGee here with Bob Dillon talking about TED 2022. And so the way today broke down were two sessions of TED Fellows, right?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you know what that is? Is that like a thing?
No, I know nothing other than I want to be one. So I don't know. I don't know. After listening to, I think, 12 of the TED Fellows talk, I learned a couple things. One, I don't know what a fellow is.
Right.
Two, I want to be one. And three, I am in no way, shape or form eligible because all those people are amazing humans.
Yeah. The TED Fellows are doing things incredible. And then they listed like all the past fellows.
Yeah.
And they like solved all the world's problems in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, it was cool though. I did not get to go to the first session. Mm-hmm. Highlights from the first session.
I'm going to run down just the general topics that should blow your mind.
Yeah.
One, exoplanets.
Okay. Does that mean Pluto?
Similar. Yeah.
Okay.
But just all around the galaxy.
Okay.
Let's see. Electric vehicles in Laos, in Nigeria.
Oh.
Lagos. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good.
And let's see. This one's the one that blew my mind. So I'm going to skip it for now because it'll come up later
on. Yeah.
We had one about about the metaverse.
Yeah.
We've got bionics. Prosthetics.
Oh, okay.
In countries that are to mass produce them in third world countries.
Yeah.
Let's see. Legal. Had a lawyer talk.
Nothing says like, hey, let's get inspired. Let's listen to a lawyer.
Yes. Who came out with a mesh shirt and blue lipstick and talked about the importance of listening to those that are a part of seeking legal counsel.
Wow. So the one thing we take away from all these TED Fellows is that like they're all over the map. But I think I found, and not to jump to session two yet, but like there was real thread around justice.
Yeah.
Like, or inequity.
Yeah, I was going to say access is a big piece of it.
Yeah.
Equity is a big piece of it. I think also just awareness, I think, is also a piece of just one of the ones was an ethnomusicologist. That session was, or that speaker was totally focused on the music, specifically the music that young African girls listen to. in their homes and how that impacts them. It was really amazing to kind of understand.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Exactly, from a different perspective.
Yeah, I think something I love about a lot of these TED fellows is that they're really hyper-focused. They're real specialists.
Yeah.
Like they are into this thing. And I love kind of dipping my toe into a lot of subculture things like that. So
yeah.
Was there one that stood out though you were going to mention?
Yeah. So the one that I really thought was super cool and sort of jumped on the page was from Gautam Shah. He's a conservationist, but the way that he's approaching conservation is similar to how the Facebook, you know,
right.
Like that went old school.
Yeah.
Approaches social media. So, he has worked on a process to sort of, if you will, chip an orangutan, name it, and then allow you to follow that orangutan and truly understand that orangutan's place in the world. And then, of course, work on ways that if the, you know, you want to be involved in the orangutan's life in some way, shape, or form, if the orangutan does X, Y, or Z, then that can generate funds to save the rainforest.
And oh, wow.
To go right back into that. But it really, you know, connects the world of somewhere in, let's say, the middle of the United States, let's say St. Louis, can bring more awareness and a connection to the rainforest where an animal might live, or in Africa where an animal might live.
And like we've always known, like save the orangutans is different than save Billy the orangutan.
Correct.
Right. And so it's got that vibe to it.
Totally.
But he's doing it.
Yep. It's amazing. So check out his work. Like I said, Gautam Shah, amazing, amazing human.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing I left from today, not getting too far ahead of ourselves, but like, okay, go check this nonprofit out. Go check this performer out. I felt like I followed a bunch of people and wrote down a whole bunch of things that I need to check out.
Yep.
Then I joined you for the second session after kind of like I took a loop. Like there's all kinds of like stuff going on. We should just spend some time talking about what's on the loop. Which is just everything around. But what about session two?
Yeah, session two started out with a performance from Blinky Bill, which if you're not following him on Spotify, I would encourage you to find out Blinky Bill.
Yeah, we both
like
that.
Great music, great connection to an artist. And again, the crazy thing about TED is Blinky Bill's just walking around. Like you can just walk up to him and have a great conversation with him. And he's a real human. And approachable. So that's really, really awesome.
Yeah, I think there's a humbleness to everyone here. Like people that are here as learners, people that are here are CEOs, they're all having the same conversations together.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so there's this list is scrolling on the phone of all the speakers. I would say that Channing Gerard Joseph is a queer cultural historian. And I was really moved by his talk, really moved by the all the things I didn't know about drag culture and the history of drag and the way that drag culture really does sort of interweave with Black culture in the United States, which I thought was really neat.
Yeah, I think I wrote down after his talk, like, how much of history have we lost and why?
Yeah.
Man, I think you could do a whole semester of high school, middle school social studies on that question.
Amazing.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome because
our next podcast.
Yeah, it goes back to like, have you watched Questlove's piece on Apple?
Not yet.
I mean, it reminded me of that. Like, we lost that history because someone decided it wasn't important enough or there was a intentional desire to put it down. So anyway, I thought that was good.
I think the other highlight probably for you that you're gonna say, I'm going to see if I can answer it for you, is a robotic fish.
Yeah, that guy. I saw him tonight. Like, I almost went up to him and was like, this dude invented, he basically wants to rethink the entire concept of the motor. Basically, he's like, for 100 years, we've been trying to make the motor better.
Yeah.
And maybe we should have been studying nature because nature knows how to move through things like octopus and fish.
In a way to not harm or be invasive to nature.
And first he's like, well, we figured out how to move the tail fin so something can move through the water. But now we want to, he was making artificial muscles to move it was crazy.
Crazy.
So it was a lab in Zurich that was partnering with MIT, and they're trying to figure out ways to rethink machines.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah. And I think what I kind of walked away with is like a simple or small electric current. There's enough information around synthetics and natural fibers that with a small amount of electric current, you can manipulate it to lift, move, contract, release. And all that is just at the beginning of stages. And I think that's going to really change the way things move around in nature. And I'm going to say things because it could be a robot. It could be an autonomous vehicle of some kind, like
right,
who knows?
A probe going depths of the ocean. Right. Who knows, right?
It's awesome.
I also wrote down a question. I'm trying to remember who this was tied back to. That does war create gaps in our storytelling? We were talking about how like a whole generation of kids don't know about whether it's the music, the culture, the arts, because of war and trauma.
Yes, that was Jawad Sharif. And he was the documentary filmmaker.
Yeah, yeah.
That he was looking at the musical instruments, specifically in Pakistan, and how there are very few, both makers of the instrument as well as those that are versed enough to play to really talk about a culture and talk about what impact that music has had on storytelling.
Yeah, I think I wrote down Indus Blues.
Yes,
that's the name of the documentary. Correct. And I'll have to go back. It's like that whole list of things you have to go back to and take a look at.
Right.
And so these were all the warm-ups.
Yeah, these were all the people that weren't even the main speakers. Like these were just the quote-unquote fellows who are all amazing human beings. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, and doing incredible things. And then we got to the evening session.
Correct. So 5 o'clock kicked up session one, and session one's theme was courage. Now they approach, Ted does have to take some liberties with the theme.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I would totally connect every message to the theme of courage until all right, wait a minute. Like, let's look at it through this lens. And then you get a sort of a deeper understanding of the talk within that umbrella of.
Well, courage. I felt more courageous because we were sitting in the second row.
We got there early. We got there probably about 45 minutes early. Yeah. We stood in line at the convention center. We were number two in line. But as soon as the doors open, everybody starts running. And you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is Black Friday.
Yeah. And you know, it's Masters Sunday as we're recording this. And you can't run at the Masters.
Oh, is that a thing?
You can run at TED, though, apparently.
Okay.
People were running.
That's true.
People were running to their seats. And I was like, we're clearly not in Augusta.
Correct.
Because you can't run at the Masters, but you can run at TED.
That's right. So people were running, and I had no idea where they were running. So I felt a little like a lemming, like I did not know where I was going. I didn't know where the door was. And then we walk in, and then you're sort of starstruck. Like, it's that moment of you're walking underneath the bleachers, if you will, or the high risers, or like, I don't know how you describe it other than that, like stadium seating.
Yeah.
And you walk into the auditorium, and you are literally smacked in the face with possibility. Like, it is just...
Yeah.
It is a surreal space.
Yeah, you see the letters.
Yeah.
The first time, it's like, there are the TED letters.
Mm-hmm.
It's the real deal. There's no X after it.
Right, right.
We're at the real deal.
We're at the real deal.
And so...
and then we found a seat in row two. Row two, people.
In which there were iPads on every seat.
Every seat. Every seat.
I thought it was Oprah.
Like, yes.
You get an iPad. You get an iPad. That's not what it was, though.
We didn't get to keep the iPads.
No. But they did a really amazing, interpretive dance AR thing.
Yep.
Like, augmented, there's no way reality to describe that. That's not good for the podcast. How do you describe AR in a podcast?
Yeah. Augmented reality. Yeah. Basically, like, as the performance, there was a kind of a video performance as well as a male and a female dancer. And there was a story around possibility, around hope, around innovation. And as that story was playing out, you quickly realize that your iPad was essential to the story. And then you start holding up your iPad.
Yeah.
And you're looking at the dancers, and the storytellers kind of walk you through this experience.
And then Voltron popped up.
I don't know what
that kind of freaked me out.
I don't know, but that thing was huge. And it was right there on the screen of the iPad. I mean, it probably was my first experience of having an environment created intentionally, so an art created intentionally with augmented reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, certainly we know Apple does really cool AR stuff for learning, but like this was like, I could imagine like doing this like at a concert, like a live show.
Totally.
Where like an artist was playing and there were things flying around the concert hall.
Right. And so check out Particle Inc.
Yeah.
Apparently they have a residency in Las Vegas. I want to learn more about Particle Inc. But apparently there's a lot of shows and things that they do. And the creators or the founders of Particle Inc., two females were there and they were amazing. And again, accessible, walking around, able to talk to them and just cool humans.
Yeah, and then the gear shifted.
Jeez.
Checkmate. Yeah, there. Oh, well done. Well played. Yeah, and I mean, I think they realized, like, hey, in the last 30, 60 days, the world's changed. How do we not speak into that? And Garry Kasparov spoke, right? Like, and, you know, he's been speaking of the ills and evils of Russia for a decade plus. And I thought it was a powerful piece, but
yeah, the whole, you get some of his whole speech by, I told you so. Like, I told you this was coming.
Yeah.
This has been,
a book called Winter is Coming.
Yes. That's right. Yeah.
Well before Game of Thrones.
That's right.
But I've actually, to me, and it always is this, right? There was a whole video of students in Ukraine talking about how the last 30 days, 60 days of their life had played out.
Yeah.
And to me, like, that was, I don't want to skip the other person that was in the piece and you can talk about her, but like listening to those students, really powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a dry eye in the place for sure. We got a chance to hear from Zoya Litvin. It was a founder of an organization called, I'm sure I'm going to mess this one up, Asvitoria.
That sounded pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a nonprofit based in Kyiv that really honestly provides asynchronous or synchronous content for kids to be able to access from all over the world. So if they happen to be in Poland or, you know, another neighboring country, they can still access their Ukrainian school via this platform that she worked.
I heard the numbers. I wrote them down.
Did you?
400,000 kids in 120 countries are accessing their platform over the last 60 days.
Jesus.
Right. As they've become a huge diaspora around the world of Ukrainian students. So,
yeah, I feel like we've used a lot of big words in this podcast already. So I feel like we should probably like have like subtitles.
Bring it down.
A notch.
Yeah. I have that problem.
I mean, diaspora is like, I'd have to Google.
Right. And we're well into the 11th hour here, right? Like it's tomorrow on the East Coast. So, here we are. So we had a whole segment there on thoughts about the war in Ukraine. And really well done. Appreciated the fact and how they framed it and did that. But then they pivoted.
Yeah.
And we were excited to see Alex and Felix.
Yep.
Yeah.
Alex and Felix, Olympian entrepreneur. I think she really told an amazing story about how she, you know, as a female athlete, ran into some obstacles and that both certain organizations like Nike and certain different company sponsors weren't providing the same experience for a female as they would for a male. And she talked about a lot of her fears associated with that. And then I think culminating at the end of just recognizing that if we can believe in ourselves, we can truly make anything happen.
Yeah. And I knew that story from Kara Goucher. I had listened to a whole story about the Oregon Project and Nike and how she went through that with Nike and didn't get the resolution that Allison Felix did, but I, you know, it's timing, whatever, but it is nice to know now that some of that's shifting and that some of our track and field athletes and athletes around the world, it's not there yet, but like, anyway, her story was really good. She did a great job, but I would say my highlight was the chief medical officer of Moderna.
Yeah, Melissa Moore.
Yeah. I mean, here is a woman who's been working all of her life as a scientist, I'm sure PhD, doctor, professor, and is in the right moment at the right time when the respect over her research comes to fruition. And the hope of where mRNA technology goes next really blew me away.
Yeah, I was shocked. I wrote this down because I was dumbfounded by it. Is that on January 10th of 2020, the information around SARS-CoV-2 was posted on sort of like an open source medical platform of like, what is the code for SARS-CoV-2? So that way we can work to find a vaccine. And within 1 hour, the team at Moderna were able to basically synthesize a vaccine for it. And then within 45 days, get that vaccine to clinical trial. And that is amazing to know that the technology is there around mRNA.
And the thing she drove home was, we are helping your body to defend itself.
Correct.
Which I thought was super cool, right? Like to think that we already have a ton of mRNA in us. That every day we put more of it into us, but this is really precise and helping us to defend off things. And I don't think she underplayed the complexity of it, right? Like there's a lot of complexity to it, but that was good. And then we were down to two more talks.
Yeah. And I love the first one. Allison Killing is a journalist and an architect. How those two things go together, I don't know, but she's brilliant and did a really great investigation on concentration camps in sort of like Western and Xinjiang, China.
Yeah.
And
the Uyghur population.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was great was the fact that, you know, she sort of found a glitch, if you will, in the Chinese version of Google Maps.
Yeah. Baidu.
Where pieces of the map were just missing. Like there's just a big gray box over spot that they ended up finding out was where the concentration camps were. And that was really amazing.
Yeah. And to me, like the idea that we now have so much open source material, photographs, social media, satellite photos, that we now have people that are almost like satellite journalists.
Mm-hmm.
They like are creating story by the images that can't be corrupted by a government. And so she did a really good job of talking about that. And I thought that was pretty impressive. And then it got us to the final speaker of the night.
Yeah, Platon.
Platon.
My gosh. Photographer.
Of everyone.
Of everyone. Yeah. Like every famous and non-famous human just told the story in pictures of all these amazing people that he's had a chance to interact with. And in those intimate moments of trying to capture who they are in a still image was truly, truly, I mean, not only is he an amazing speaker, but he's an amazing artist.
Yeah.
And then somehow is able to capture this just chilling, if you will, almost a portrait of individuals.
Yeah, I think at some point in time he said, our commonality is our humanity. And he added deep. I kept staring at those images and seeing more and more and more. Like, he really did capture the essence of people's humanity.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't wait till his talk comes out. It's going to be one of those that will rock you. It'll be one of those that you'll probably watch five or six times, because each time that you watch it, you'll catch a new image or a new thought. But I will tell you, I don't even know if he has a coffee table book, but if he does, go get it.
Yeah.
Because the images are striking, they're amazing, and you see some amazing, you know, amazing humans in their own right, but you see them in a whole new way through the way that he captures their images.
Yeah. So as we wrap up, worth noting, like, food, drink everywhere.
Jeez. Yeah.
So if you ever come to TED, you're not going to be hungry and you're not going to be thirsty. Maybe thirsty for more talks, but not thirsty for more drinks. So
true.
That's just day one.
Day one.
All right. We're tired. We're going to do day two tomorrow. So if you thought this was interesting, we'll try to put a bunch of details in the show notes. We'll see how that plays itself out. Yeah, do go check some of these things out. And as Ted starts to release these talks, there's some good ones. So we'll try to make sure we share those as they come out as well. So until day two, thanks for joining us on the Help Me Understand podcast. This has been Bob and Chris. Until day two. Thanks for listening. More about this podcast and my work with schools and districts can be found at drrobertdillon.com. Until next time, slow down, notice the world, and stay curious.